Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Jawanza, and I'm so happy that you've taken time out to tune in to this special edition, and you won't regret that you did. You know, life is very, very interesting, and as my guest has been known to say, that life has conspired to bring you to the realization of your divinity. And so if you're tuned in, it's not by accident. Your spirit brought you here this evening, and we've got a show that's lined up for you that's going to help you to realize, has the potential to help you to realize your divinity. You know, in life, we all want answers. We all want to be successful. We all want to know the reasons why we're here and how we can make this experience that we call life fruitful, how we can make it successful, and how we can grow. Well, my special guest tonight is a priest. He is a chief. He's a teacher, and he's a lecturer with the Osirisset Society. I've interviewed him numerous times, and I can guarantee you that you will grow from this information that you're going to get tonight. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest, Shechem Meabneter. That's Hechem Suheru Meabneter. Brother, thank you for being my guest this evening. Welcome back to Jawanza for Life.
What's up, Brother Jawanza, and thank you very much for inviting me back to be part of the program.
Brother, it's my pleasure, and I'm sure that the listeners are going to be rewarded with information that they can use. And I want everybody to know that the information that you're going to hear this evening, this isn't just food for thought. This is a thought for food, okay? Because if you take this information and you digest this information, utilize this information, you're going to grow. It's filled with nutrients that are designed to help your spirit to evolve. And my special guest has got a unique way of delivering that is going to speak to you this evening. We're talking about the Ra and the Osirian initiation systems of ancient Kemet being applied today. And you're going to see how that by utilizing this information that you can enhance your spiritual walk. And I'm ready to dive right into it. So we're talking about, again, the Ra and Osirian initiations. Brother, what, first of all, is if you could give us a little background so that the listeners have a framework within to put this information. What is the Osirian initiation? What is the Ra initiation? And, of course, it's coming out of the Kemetic tradition. Could you speak on that? What is the Kemetic tradition? I mean, there's somebody that's out there just tuning in for the first time, and they're like, okay, I don't even know what you all are talking about, the Ra initiation and the Osirian initiation and the Kemetic tradition. First, I guess I would ask, what is the Kemetic tradition? And then specifically, what is the Ra and the Osirian initiation?
Okay, well, again, thank you for having me on the show tonight to speak about the Osirian and the Ra initiation systems. And this is a program that is being facilitated and has been brought into manifestation via the Osirisset Society. And the Osirisset Society is an African spiritual organization based upon the principles and the teachings of the ancient Kemetic tradition or the ancient Egyptian tradition. And the purpose of the initiation system is to help to bring us into the full awareness and experience of our divine true nature. So within the Kemetic tradition, we realize that we come into the world for the purpose of realizing and expressing our divinity, that we are the vehicles in which God is able to have full expression and manifestation and creativity as a divine being in the world. And within the Osirian system, within the ancient Kemetic system, that aspect of our divine nature, which is the presence of God within all of us, is what we refer to as Osir. And that means whereby we're totally committed and devoted to awaken that God within, to nurture that God within, to sacrifice everything we must sacrifice, to realize that divine nature is what we refer to as Oset. So when we talk about Osir and Oset, we're talking about those highest aspects of our divine nature within our being. And that's why we are referred to as the Osiriset Society. So all the principles and teachings and practices and ceremonies that we do as a society is for the purpose of helping us to awaken that divine Osirness. And we realize that when we talk about our being, that there's primarily two aspects to our being. There's that consciousness aspect of our being, which is the essence of who we are. That's the source of the reality of our being present, and that is the aspect of our being through which we're able to see and perceive. And then we also have, as an aspect of that consciousness, we have will, and the will serves as the means whereby we're able to dictate and direct how it is that we're going to live. The will is the means whereby we make choices in the world. But the means whereby we execute and carry out our practices, the means whereby we have experience, the means whereby we're able to function and express ourselves, that comes through the spirit. And within the Osirian tradition, that reality of the spirit is referred to as Ra. So when we talk about the Osirian and the Ra initiation systems, we're talking about systems whereby we're able to tap into our divine true nature and have the correct self-image that we are by nature divine being, therefore being Osir. And then it's to tap into the power base of our being whereby we're able to express and function those qualities of Osir, and that's what we refer to as Ra.
You know, as I'm listening to you, the law that comes to mind is the law of Ma'at, which states that God needs you to come into the world, and fulfilling God's need is the highest form of love, if I'm quoting that correctly. And, you know, I think that when people realize that the purpose of life, or one of the purposes of life, or the purpose of life, is to give God a vehicle through which God can enter into the world, then everything else has meaning, you know, that because you have some people that might believe, for example, that their purpose for living is to play an instrument, you know, or play basketball or something, you know, like that's their purpose, you know. Now, although that function might serve to take them places in life where they are to experience situations that are going to take them higher to potentially reach their divinity, that in and of itself might not be their purpose. But could you just speak on that for a moment, just the function or the purpose of us even endeavoring to become divine beings so that we can actually give God that vehicle through which God can experience the world?
Okay, so within the Osirian way of life, we realize that, first of all, there's one supreme being, and that the supreme being has brought forth the world to serve as the environment through which it is able to express and experience its divine nature. But as is the case with any type of experience, you have to be present. You can't have an experience if you're not present. So in that, in our tradition, we refer to that divine being as Neter, in that Neter is that source through which all life is manifesting. As Neter brings forth the world, then Neter has to be present in the world. God has to be present in the world. And that's where, when you made reference to giving God the vehicle through which it's able to manifest, well, God has already given us. Matter of fact, we are the vehicle. God didn't give us the vehicle. God created us to serve as the vehicle through which it is able to be present in the world and realize its divine nature. And it's our responsibility to, one, come into the knowledge of that reality, and then, two, practice the principles. You made a reference to the laws, to live according to the laws that God has established to maintain order and balance and harmony in the world, live according to those laws. And that will ensure our success in all our life activities, but all our life activities are geared to maintain a reflection of an order that encumbers those laws. You made reference to one of the laws, but if we live in harmony with this 11 basic laws, if we live in harmony with those basic laws, then we're able to access the knowledge and the power of God, which is our true nature, and we're able to truly reflect the reality that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And that's where the Osirian initiation comes into play, in that we haven't grown up in a cultural context whereby we've been taught of our divine nature. We haven't been taught about the 11 laws. We haven't been taught how to live in harmony with nature itself. Then what we're doing is we're using the initiation to begin that process to establish the right awareness, the right thoughts, the right image as to who we are. And that image of who we are is rooted in the 11 laws. So when we made reference to living in the world and the spirit, that being Ra, serves as the means through which we're able to exist and function in the world. There's different components to the spirit. There's different personalities to our spirit. There's different divisions to our spirit. And there's 11 basic components that constitute our being. And with each one of those qualities of energy, there's a law which is reflecting or speaking as to how we need to properly manage that energy. Because when we're talking about Ra, we're talking about energy. So we have to make sure that we properly manage that energy so that when we often say that you look like God when people talk about being a divine being or being made in the image and likeness of God. But you have to have a point of reference. Well, how do I know that I'm living as God? What is indicating that I'm being a divine being? What's indicating that I'm living in harmony with the law? And we look like God when we have the awareness of each of those laws and we live in harmony with those laws, and we can see that reflection because of the peace and the balance that we maintain in our own spirit, along with tapping into that knowledge and power of divine nature, which helps us to transcend all difficulties, eliminate stress, and be successful in all life endeavors. And that's the purpose of the Osirian and Ra initiation, to give us a proper divine self-image by placing the 11 laws into our mind, and that's through the Osirian initiation, and to tap into those talents, those energies, those skills, those powers of our spirit of Ra that then allows us to be successful in executing all life endeavors.
You know, as you were speaking, it's clear that there's a distinction that is being made between our person and the essence of who we are, which is the divine being, and often our identification with our person, as opposed to identifying with our divine nature, is the source of many, if not all, of the ills that beset us in the world. Just being, identifying with I'm human. It's been stated that one of the things that we as people do is blame everything on our humanness, and that's because of our identification. The average person, if you were to ask them, you know, are you human? Of course, the answer would be, for many people, absolutely, because they think that the distinctions are, well, you have animals and you have humans, and then you have the insect world. So, yes, a human being the highest, thinking that human is the highest form that they could possibly aspire to be. But with the Kemetic teachings, that you are divine and that you actually have to work to overcome your human nature and your animal nature. So if you could speak to that and how these initiations can help toward that end.
Well, you made reference to the image that we may have and your point of identity, and you brought into the conversation the concept of a human being. And we say that when you're talking about a human being, you're really talking about the earthly vehicle or earthly means whereby we're allowed to be living on this plane. And though we need to have a vehicle to have that experience, we're no more a human being than when we're driving in our car and see ourselves as the car itself. So when we talk about a human being, we're talking about functioning in a context where it's self-limiting, meaning that you get to the point where someone is erring or they're not doing well or they're failing, and they'll say, well, I'm only human, or it's only natural to get upset, it's only natural to get angry. If somebody loses something, it's only natural to grieve. So we're attaching emotions that are injurious to our health, that lower our IQ, that set us up for failure. We're attaching that as being a natural part of our being, but we can't naturally be frail and subject to failure and declaring and identifying as being a human being and saying it's only natural, and then turn around and say that we're made in the image and likeness of God and then pray to that divine being to guide us and direct us. We can't be both at the same time. So within the Osirian tradition and what the Osirian initiation does for us, it provides for us, again, the knowledge whereby when we look at those principles that make up the different aspects of our being, those different components of our being, then we see that the problem that we have is that our thoughts and our images, our verbal thinking in terms of what we tell ourselves and our visual thinking in terms of what we imagine is what influences our energies, is what stimulates and activates certain feeling sensations and emotions within our spirit. And then we act upon those feeling sensations and emotions, and we do things that we regret, and we make choices that are driven by greed and by anger and by emotional imbalance, and we're indulging in things we know we shouldn't indulge in. And then, again, we claim that that's part of being human. But when you're using an initiation system, you're realizing that if I substitute those conditionings and those feeling sensations and emotions and those wrong beliefs and those wrong rationalizations and those wrong images, if I substitute those that exist in my mind with the vision and the image of living in harmony with the divine laws, then that is the energy that serves as the filter. Those laws serve as the filter so that when these thoughts come to my being in terms of me making choices or the images come to my being in terms of stimulate what I'm focusing on, and these feeling sensations and emotions come to my spirit, if they don't sit in harmony with the law, then they will be ignored. We will deny their influence. And really that comes out of the reality that those feeling sensations and emotions come out of the animal aspect of our being or even out of the animal brain within us. And the rationalizations for what it is that we do that gives value or give sanctioning or approval to indulging into certain behaviors that we know may even be incorrect, but we give ourselves some reason as to why we're going to do it anyway. That comes out of the human portion of the brain, the rationalizing portion of the brain. But there's a portion of our brain, the prefrontal lobe, whereby we have access to our divine nature, and that's where we have the principle of reasoning and of empathy and morality, and that's was stimulated when we do the Osirian initiation. So the Osirian initiation, as we put those laws into our mind, we're literally helping to awaken the higher aspect of our brain, our higher brain, which will allow us to transcend those animal and those human influences and guarantee success in all our undertakings in life. Because when we talk about success, we have to realize that success in life, basically, it boils down to the interaction of those two fundamental aspects of our being, which is our will, as I referenced earlier, and our spirit. And again, within the Kemetic tradition, we refer to the spirit as Ra. And that's the system, the Ra initiation system, is responsible for carrying out the functions that operate our body, operate our mind, our psychical activities, as well as determining all that happens in our social life and success in our professional and personal life. And the only way that we can access that great capability that we have in our spirit is by placing those 11 laws into our mind and then using that as the means whereby we're going to dictate and direct the functioning of our spirit. So, again, the placement of the laws that govern the spirit is the essence of the Osirian initiation, and learning to directly manipulate the faculties of our spirit is the essence of the Ra initiation. And that's what we're talking about here, and that will be the subject of the lecture that we are planning to do tomorrow night in Richmond.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, because then I'm going to give the information for those who are in the Richmond area who, you know, want to take part in this. I mean, if you've never heard this information before, you definitely need to get over to the church to hear it, and that is going to be held tomorrow evening, and that's going to be from 7 to 9 p.m. at Trinity Family Life Center. Again, that's going to be from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., weather permitting, at Trinity Family Life Center, and that's at 3601 Dill, as in D-I-L-L Road, in Richmond, Virginia. The zip is 23222. And for more information, you call 804-687-6505. Again, that's 804-687-6505. Again, we're going to be talking about the Ra initiation and the Osirian initiation. Brother, if you could talk about the role that meditation plays in the initiation process as you're going through and undertaking the Ra initiation and the Osirian initiation, what role does meditation play in that? And what is, in fact, again, I don't want to assume that everybody listening knows what meditation is. Some people, when they think of meditation, just think of a way to relieve stress. You know, but if you could talk about meditation in terms of even behavior modification, that would be good.
So when we talk about meditation and the term itself, medi, the medi aspect of meditation is referring to being in the middle of. So we say the two basic aspects of our being, you have your will and your spirit. The will is directing and the spirit is the means whereby you execute. So if we look at our behaviors, if we look at the way that we function, as you mentioned, our behavioral patterns, if there's some changes that we know we need to make, we may have the intention to do it, we may will to do it. Many of us have will to make changes, will to start some program, stop some activity, and have been very sincere in our intention but have failed in terms of accomplishing what we will to do. And then there's other situations in which we are automatically doing things and wondering, why did we do that? It's not like we made the choice to do it. It's taking place automatically. So what's happening there is there's those two components of our being, the will and the spirit, both have to be involved in terms of establishing patterns of behavior and determining and carrying out how it is that we function. So the spirit is more functioning in a state of automatically carrying things out. And the will, you have to be alert. You have to be focused. So our will is more active when we're awake, and our spirit tends to carry things through automatically. So when the will is less functional, then the spirit is more predominant. So if you look at it during the course of just a daily activity or from the being awake, being asleep, the will is more predominant function in your awake state because it allows you to interact with your environment. You're having awareness of everything that's going on, and you're making choices. But your spirit is more functional in terms of it carries things out automatically, so you don't have to really be focused or concentrating on something to have it carried out automatically. As a matter of fact, when people do things automatically and they say, well, they went into a zone or they were like they went in trance, then we're saying that's taking place automatically. So when we meditate, we want to get in the middle of that. We want to be awake enough that we are able to make the choices we need to make and to see clearly what it is we need to do, but we want to be receptive enough, we want to be open enough that we can tap into that part of our spirit through which those programs are automatically carried out. And that's what meditation does for us. It puts us in that middle state. And the way that that is accomplished is through slowing down our breathing. There's specific breathing techniques that we'll use whereby if you use a basic fourfold pattern of breathing, and we use abdominal breathing and breathing through our nostrils. So if I'm breathing in through my nostrils, and as I breathe in, my abdomen expands, and I'm breathing in to a count of four, I'm breathing in for four counts, and then I breathe out, I exhale through my nostrils again, and my abdomen is my stomach, I'm pulling it back in for four counts. That helps to put me into a more receptive state. And when I've done that for a period of time, for a number of minutes, then I'm relaxed enough but awake enough that I can focus in on what it is that my objective is, and I'm receptive enough that my spirit can connect with my will. And if I do that enough times, or repeat that enough days in a row, then I establish a new behavior pattern within my being, and that's how you accomplish what you refer to as behavior modification. So the Osirian initiation and Orion initiation, the basic mechanism whereby we're going to put those 11 laws into our spirit and change our behavior, change our functioning, is through meditation. And there's a various number of ways that we support that meditative process. One thing that we do is we refer to as writing a meditation script. And a meditation script would be, if you know there's a certain scenario where you're not functioning correctly, things you know that you do you shouldn't do, and you can identify what this pattern of behavior is, you want to write down that scenario. That would be the first part of the script. You're writing down a scenario whereby every time I pass a particular shop, I think about going in there and eating food, and I go in there and eat food, though I know I shouldn't be doing that. So then now I would look to see, well, what law is that in violation of? And one of the laws, when we talked about the 11 aspects of our being, and one of those aspects corresponds to a faculty referred to as Heru. And Heru is your freedom of choice. Heru is your will, which is saying that at no time are you compelled or obligated that you have to respond in any given way. So if I'm automatically just going in and saying, well, I got to have this, I can't help myself, it just makes me feel so good, and I'm just going to do that, then I'm not really using my will. That goes back to I'm being influenced and allowing myself to follow that animal aspect of my being. The animal brain, that feeling, sensation, and emotion is what is really directing me. But if I was using my will, I would realize that I'm always able to dictate and determine what my response will be in any and all situations. So then now that's going to remove the erroneous concept that something makes me upset or something makes me mad, or even the very broad, powerful negative perspective that we have in belief system that's part of how we live on a daily basis, is that things make us stressed. And it's not like there's stress intrinsic in any particular experience. It's how we respond to that. So I would be writing as a second part of that meditation script that I'm in violation of the law of Heru, and that I realize that I have the freedom to choose to ignore that particular feeling, sensation, and emotion. And then the third aspect would be the visualization, where I would see myself walking right past that environment, past that chocolate cake, past wherever, smiling and being relaxed and just being focused about what it is that I'm going to do. And the fourth part of that would be a blessing. So from being disciplined enough to do that, I would see myself receiving a blessing, because maybe I'm trying to start my own business, and part of my lack of doing that, and I don't even realize, is I'm not disciplined enough. I'm supposed to be on a particular diet, but yet I'm succumbing to every image and every smell and every thought of a taste, and that's what's stopping me from stepping out there on my own to do what I need to do to accomplish the business, because I'm not disciplined enough. So a blessing that will come to me by working with this meditation script, doing it on a daily basis, is that I would see myself receiving that blessing from living in harmony with that law. So when we talk about the initiation systems, this is not just a theoretical concept or just something we're doing intellectually. We're literally talking about using meditation to help us in terms of healing, helping us in terms of awakening and developing our talents, whether they're artistic talents, intellectual talents, helping us to be successful in all our life areas, whether it's professional, whether it's dealing with parenting or relationships, to address all life changes. And the meditation and initiation systems also help us to tap into our psychic powers, meaning we have the ability to, just like we're saying, we can use meditation to influence ourselves to do correctly. We can have meditations and visualize our children doing well in school and visualize our relationships improving. And it's meditation that helps us to do that. So we're talking about literally improving the quality of our life as we work with the Osirian and the Orion initiation systems.
You know, I don't know if a lot of people ever thought about meditation in that way, being able to using it to visualize and seeing your children successful, you know, using it to visualize and seeing yourself, you know, enhancing and improving your relationships. Because, again, I think for a lot of people, when they think of meditation, they just think of it as, okay, I had a rough day at work, you know what I mean? I just need to go home and, you know, still my mind before I go off on somebody, you know. But from what you're sharing, it has the potential to be so much more than just a stress reliever, you know. But
well, I apologize for interrupting you, but we don't even see it in that context, and we wouldn't say that we're going to use meditation to relieve stress, because there's a meditation system specifically that we work with called MANEB. And this is a meditation, and Maneb is referring to, as I just referenced, using the law of Heru, or that aspect of our spirit referred to as Heru, which is your freedom of choice. If you have that freedom to choose, and that's your will, then you need to establish your will in any and all situations in terms of what your intention is, how are you going to live, what are the thoughts you're going to have, what it is that you're going to accept, what behaviors are you going to manifest. So we're not going to use meditation to help us relieve stress. We're going to use meditation to eliminate stress. We're not talking about stress management. We're talking about stress elimination. I apologize for cutting you off, but I wanted to bring that point into place. So when you establish your will, when you establish the laws within your spirit, then you're guaranteeing yourself to be successful in every and all situation. And the basis for success begins with being at peace. And we talk about, when we say being at peace, we're not talking about peace being a state whereby you're enjoying the things you would like to have. We're talking about peace being a state whereby you're able to always be stable and balanced in managing your energies. And that facilitates one now being able to tap into that higher knowledge and that divine power that will help them to manage those situations where it seems like they're insurmountable, and to eliminate those expressions whereby you, again, you have to be worried and you have to be scared and it's only normal to get upset. You know, that's not correct, because if something is detrimental to you on a mental, emotional, psychical level, it can't be natural to you. And that's why it's unnatural to consider oneself to be a human being, because if those emotions are attached to being a human being, then you can't naturally have those emotions have negative effects in terms of your physical and your mental health, and then say this is natural and say, well, this is who I am. So meditation, one thing about meditation in the context of the West and cultures and traditions, it's used primarily for the purpose of relaxation. But when you look at it from more non-Western traditions, yes, relaxation is a great aspect, it's needed, but it allows you to tap into your psychic qualities. It allows you to utilize the basis of your will to manage your spirit so that you can help guarantee success in your life situation. So there's the reality of using meditation to get into a state of relaxation, but then there's also the reality of what you do with the meditation or in meditation once you get into that state of relaxation, and that's what we're talking about. So,
and
well,
if you could, by the way, everybody, if you have any questions, we're going to save those to the last 15 minutes. So if you're online and you'd like to speak with or ask a question of Hekshemsu Heru Meab Neter, that's my guest today, then just hold on. We'll be taking questions at 7:45, okay? So, brother, if you could talk about, you've mentioned the word several times, and I have too as well, success. Being successful. If you would, from the perspective that you're speaking about, this encompassing in this whole discussion about the Ra initiation and the Osirian initiation, what is success? Because a lot of times people feel, you know, success is that if I'm successful in something, it goes my way, okay? But we know that life is not designed for everything to always go your way. You know, there are going to be situations where you're going to have to maintain a peaceful demeanor, or it would be, at the very least, beneficial to you to maintain a peaceful demeanor in a situation that could be viewed as challenging, end quote, quote, unquote, challenging. But we know that if approached from the right perspective and you realize that, again, back to the laws, for example, the law of Amen, which states that you were made in the likeness of a peace that nothing can disturb. So that if something does not necessarily go your way, that would not necessarily be interpreted as you were not successful because it didn't go your way. Because if you grow from it, if that situation causes you to grow spiritually, you in fact were successful. Or could it be viewed that way?
Yeah, it should be viewed that way, because life is constantly presenting to us, quote unquote, challenges, which we see as opportunities. And it's the opportunity to grow and develop, meaning that the purpose of our being here is to realize our divinity. And we have to basically start at level one, whereby it's not our world, it's a divine world. God has brought us into the world. We're vehicles through which God is able to be present in the world. So that means that we have to have the knowledge of these divine qualities, and then we have to have the means and the mechanism to tap into these divine qualities. But in order to do that, we have to transcend the lower aspect of our spirit. I'm not saying the lower aspect is bad, but I'm just saying, as I made reference to the animal part of our being that's rooted in your feelings, sensations, and emotions, we see 24/7 how living a life based upon feelings, sensations, and emotions will bring us temporary sensual and emotional gratification, will provide us material things, and we may label that as success, but then we're still in a situation where we have a sense of fear about losing it. How did I go about getting it? Did I violate someone else? Did I violate any laws? Am I having to be aggressive to maintain something? Am I not telling the truth and working to get something? Where's the moral standards? Where's the moral qualities that's allowing me to be able to do the work that I need to do and realize that as I live in harmony with truth, I will get what I need? So I don't need to have that sense of fear. I don't need to be greedy about things. I need to have a sense of knowing and a willingness to share, because my work is to awaken the God within. That's more critical and important to realize my divine nature. That will ensure success in all my life endeavors, versus accomplishing the various mundane things that I would like to have. And that is important, don't get me wrong. But we have many, many examples of people getting the money, getting the house, getting the material things, having the experiences they want to have, and still not being fulfilled as a person, and really not transcending those influences that will keep them in a negative state of functioning and make themselves ill and not living in harmony with the law and succumbing to various degenerative illnesses. So we want to come to the knowledge and awareness of what does it really mean to be successful, and that means that I have to have the awareness of who I am as a divine being. That's where the Osirian initiation is, planting those 11 laws into my mind, realizing that if I identify with my divine nature as Osir, then I guarantee success in those mundane situations, and the choices that I will make to accomplish X, Y, and Z and the goals that I have, the aspirations I have, by using 11 laws, I will never be in violation of nature or of anyone else in me working to accomplish what it is that I will to get. So it requires a certain degree of humility to get to that point, but it's so much more empowering to get to that point, because you're not the power when you're working as a divine being. When you're working as Osir, the power does not lie in force. The power lies in your living of truth. So success is ensured in your mundane undertakings when you live in harmony with the law, and access to your divine knowledge and divine powers to have a great influence on your personal life and a positive influence and support of others also comes as a result of that. So when we talk about success, we're talking about being at peace, living in harmony with the laws in any and every situation, and realize that life is always providing to us challenges and adversity. And the question is, am I able to maintain the peace and joy of my divine being and live in harmony with those laws, even if it means a personal loss for me? Because you referenced it, if the situation that I'm in, I may have a personal loss, but if I'm able to attain to a higher level in terms of my knowledge and my divine power, then it's really been a gain. It's really been a blessing for me. But I'm not going to have that sense if I don't have a divine self-image. I have to have that divine self-image, or else I have a human self-image, and then I'm always trying to protect my personal and looking at things from a personal perspective and what I want and what I desire. So success is ensured by living as Osir, and that's one of the great blessings of working with Osirian in the Orion initiation. As we live as Osir, we live in harmony with the law, we're able to manage our spirit on all levels and, you know, bring that success, as I mentioned, in terms of whatever life challenges you may find yourself in, whether it's family, whether it's economic, whether it's governmental, whatever it may be. There's a way to manage that situation and to be at peace in the process.
You know, brother, I'm sure that there's somebody out there that's listening, and they, you know, again, you're not brought to this information by accident, okay? Your spirit brought you here, okay? So you're here for a reason. So, you know, I hope that, you know, if you have a question, don't be shy, okay? We'll be taking questions in a moment. All you have to do is just press 1, and it'll let me know that you have a question, and I'll bring you on, and you can ask your question and make your comment. But for somebody that's out there that might be dealing with issues just concerning whether it could be food, you know, it could be a diet. They could, you know, have trouble just turning down certain food. They might have bad dietary habits, or let's say they're on drugs, or, you know, dealing with alcohol, or fears, or, you know, whatever the case is. How can either or both of these initiations assist a person that's dealing with, we'll just take drug addiction, for example, or alcoholism, or, you know, having, you know, fears or something of that nature? They might want to know, well, how can I get help with, I can't walk past, you gave the example of somebody not being able to walk past a store without, you know, going in and, you know, eating something that they're not supposed to eat. A lot of people are wrestling with a lot of these real life issues. Can the Ryan Osirian initiation help somebody, say, who's on drugs?
Definitely. It can help folks who have challenges in terms of addictions. And again, that is why the initiation exists, to improve the quality of our life. So you can have a situation where whatever it is someone may be addicted to, there's the sense that there's a need for this, or there's such a great sense of enjoyment because of the indulgence of that, that they have now attached that sense of enjoyment as being their nature, meaning I have to have this in order to feel good. I have to have this in order to feel fulfilled. And that goes back to the point of identification. I'm identifying with the feeling. I'm identifying with the animal-human aspect of my spirit versus the divine aspect of my spirit. So a part of that would phrase come into, again, the knowledge and the awareness that that is not the truth of reality. Because if that were the case, I would not realize that I'm indulging in something that, even though it feels good, is detrimental to me. I may know that it's something I shouldn't do, but I'm just so locked into the feeling and the enjoyment of the feeling that I'm still going to do it. So I have to use a mechanism, I have to use resources, I have to tap into that which gets me beyond that mode of functioning. And that's where the laws come in. It brings to my attention that there is a part of my being that is able to transcend that. I am not obligated to follow the feeling. I am not compelled to function in that way. So you have, making reference again to the law of Heru, I have the freedom to choose how I'm going to respond in any and all situations, because that's my spirit. That's an aspect of Ra that's responding. And through the use of my will, I'm able to always direct and manage my spirit. If we've never had that experience consistently, then we may not have the awareness that we can use that meditation as a means to transcend that. Now, we may also have certain physiological and biochemical changes that have taken place within our spirit by involving ourselves, whether with certain diet or certain drugs or whatever, where I may need to take certain remedies, whether it's certain supplements, certain vitamins, minerals, homeopathic remedies, certain herbs, that's going to help in terms of bringing balance back into my system, help in detoxifying, help to regenerate my system. So that's part of the practices that we would also use to help cultivate, to help heal, to help nourish our spirit. Because when we talk about health, we realize that our spirit always, in order to be healthy, we always have to have a state of vitality and balance. We have to always mm-hmm. be vital and balanced in order to truly be healthy. So the meditation and the Osirian initiation will be helpful in that it will help us to come into the awareness and the knowledge based upon certain laws that I am not that which I'm indulging. I am not that feeling. That is not what makes me up. I do not have to have that in order to have a sense of fulfillment. And it's through meditation that we do that, and then by working with our spirit via the meditations, and again by working with the remedies, and then establishing a new pattern of behavior, visualize ourselves functioning in another way, working with that aspect of our spirit through meditation, then we're, you can't have two separate modes of functioning occupying the same space simultaneously. So what meditation does, it facilitates our replacing a particular behavioral pattern with another behavioral pattern that's rooted in truth. So you can definitely use meditation to help change those patterns of behaviors and indulgences, such as addiction to whatever substance or activity it may be, along with sometimes, again, you may need supplemental help to work on a biochemical level, physiological level to make changes.
Everybody, my special guest tonight is Ekshemsu Heru Shekemeyab Neter. He's a chief and a priest, a lecturer, a counselor with the Oseraset Society. I know you're enjoying this information. He's going to be in Richmond, weather permitting, tomorrow. He's going to be at the Trinity Family Life Center, and that's at 3601 Dill, that's D-I-L-L Road in Richmond, Virginia. And for more information, call 804-687-6505. That's 804-687-6505. Well, it's about that time, everybody. It's a quarter to eight, so if you have any questions, please press 1, and it will let me know that you would like to make your comment or ask your question, and I can bring you on board. Brother, someone asked me to ask you a question, too. I don't know if she's listening. Sister by the name of Nini asked me to ask you this. I told her I was having you on. I guess she was experiencing on her job a situation where, you know, there are people on the job that are just dealing with, there's a lot of noise in the office, and she finds it hard to focus and to concentrate, you know, because the cubicles are small, and so people are just very loud, and they're, you know, talking about stuff, and it's hard to focus. And wanted to know, how can the Ra and or Assyrian initiation assist in a situation where, you know, you've got a hectic job where you, let's say you work, you could be a stockbroker, you know, you could be working on the, on Wall Street or something, and, you know, a very stressful job. How would the initiations assist in that area?
Okay, so that would be a situation where, first of all, she would start off by looking at the reality or coming to light of the reality that this particular situation I'm in, there's only stress if I allow myself to be stressful, if I allow myself to be stressed. So I can't make the association that any particular situation is stressful. And the law that that corresponds to is that aspect of our spirit that we refer to as sevik. And sevik deals with your ideas and your beliefs. So if I believe that X, Y, and Z is stressful, and my beliefs and, again, my thoughts influence my life force and influence my emotions, my sensations, then I'm basically going to function as though I'm stressed. So I have to go in now, write my meditation script to instill that law of sevik into my mind, whereby I come to the knowledge, instead of believing that a particular situation is stressful, I'm going to be saying that I realize that the energy that I experience in any situation is determined by what I allow to come through my spirit. You follow what I'm saying? So she would, and she would have as part of her visualization, she'd have the scenario as her being up, you know, being upset in that situation and frustrated, and she can't focus and she doesn't want to be there and so forth. That would be her scenario. The law that she would be looking at, there's a couple of laws she could use. One is that she's able to be at peace in any and all situations. That's the law of Amen. Two, she could look at the law dealing with that aspect of her spirit. We talk about it as Osir. And Osir is telling us that nothing and no one is against us, meaning that, as you referenced, if this, I'm in this situation, you may not be able to change that you're in a situation, but you can always change how you respond in the situation. So if I look at this situation as an opportunity for me to be able to be in this environment, but yet tap into a knowledge and a power base that's allowing and supporting my ability to be at peace, relax, and maintain my focus in this situation, then this is really a situation that's going to help me to grow and develop. So the situation is not against me. It's providing for me an opportunity, but I have to have that mindfulness. I have to accept that. So that's another script we could write, part of the script we could write in terms of the law of Osir. We can go back to what I said about Heru and writing as part of the law in that script, that I have to make the choice to allow my person to respond in a particular way. It's not an automatic response that I have no control over. So she's looking at whatever law she's going to work with. She's writing that in this situation, I'm going to respond with peace and joy. I'm going to maintain my focus on my work. And in the visualization, she's going to see herself being in a situation, continue to smile, continue to be relaxed, continue to get her work done, and have no problems with it. And then, again, she was going to have herself receive a blessing from that. That's part of, that's the fourth aspect of that script. So, and when you look at that, then you say, well, I really should be thankful to God that I was in this situation, because if it wasn't for this situation, I wouldn't have had that genuine opportunity to tap into this divine aspect of my spirit to make these changes. And I wouldn't have had that experience. I wouldn't have known that I can do this. And if I've done it once, I can do it more than once, and not just this situation, but other situations. So I can take that ability to transcend being upset with the noise and the chat and so forth at the job. I can take that back to my home or social setting, which means I can be at peace no matter what's taking place around me. The gentleman who's the head of our society, who's authored a number of books on spirituality, it's not like he wrote this in isolation, wrote these various books in isolation. He's in the midst of many people in his family sitting in the living room typing up these books, you know. So he had to maintain his focus in that situation, and he could have said, well, you know, it's just too stressful for me to work at home. I got to go out X, Y, Z. I got to take a month off or go to a retreat or I need solitude. But he maintained his focus. He used his will that he was going to maintain focus. He did the meditations, and he was successful. As if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't be having a discussion with you right now. So that proves that it works.
That's right. Well, Nene, I hope that helps, because that was a definitely breakdown, and I'm sure that you'll be able to benefit from that. Brother, you know, we keep referencing the 11 laws. We have a few moments left, and if I may, just so the listeners can know what we're talking about. The 11 laws are the 11 laws of God, and as Hexim Suru, Shekhamam Nitya mentioned, you know, 11 aspects of our spirit. And I'd like to read the 11 laws, if I may. Okay, there are 11, and the first law is the law of Amen, which states, I am made in the likeness of a peace that nothing can disturb. I reclaim my original peace that I may attain to my reason for coming into the existence and the enjoyment of life. That was the law of Amen. The law of Auser states, my nature is an incomparable peace, therefore nothing and no one in the world can be against me. All experiences come to me to promote the reclamation of my original state of being, that I may in turn acquire wisdom and spiritual power. The third law is the law of Tehuti, which states, all my thoughts, feelings, and actions reflect the word of God and the power of God's spirit, and a peace that nothing can challenge flows through my being. Fourth law is the law of Sekhar, which states, all emotions manifesting through my being are in response to the word of God. They have the power to influence the course of any and all events in the world. The next law would be the law of Ma'at, which states that God needs me in order to come into the world. Fulfilling God's need is the highest act of love. It is only through my love for God that I am able to fulfill my love for others. I am the love of God in the world for the protection of the world. Next is Heru Kahuti, which states, I know that God neither rewards nor punishes nor protects. I am comforted in knowing that these are under my control through living truth. The law of Heru states, I have the power, but not the right, to ignore God's law. I choose to follow the law of God with the love and joy that grows out of understanding that the wisdom and power of God's spirit shall flow through my being. Then there's the law of Het Heru, which states, it is not what I imagine, it is who I am that is imagining. I know that I am a divine being. The law of Sebek states that it is not what I think or what I affirm, it is who is thinking and affirming. I know that I am a divine being. Then there's Auset, which states, I am prepared to sacrifice everything to become the vessel of God on earth, and I know that I will, in turn, receive everything. And the last law is the law of Geb, which states, I know that from heaven I came, and to heaven I will return. I seek not enduring works on the earth. And I read those because, again, we've been referencing the 11 laws of God. So that is to give you an idea of what is being implanted through the initiations, what is being implanted into your spirit, so that when you are doing your meditations, writing your scripts, if I'm understanding Shechem Meir correctly, that is the goal, so that you're changing this identification from being a flawed human being into a divine being. And these 11 laws encompass every aspect of life, correct, Shechem?
That's correct, yes. And one thing I'd like to say, we've been doing initiation. We're going about to go into, I believe it's our fifth year. I mean, obviously everyone hasn't done it for the whole period of time, but there is the Osirian initiation, again, and that's where we're implanting 11 laws into our minds. And there's the Rai initiation, which is dealing with your spirit and manipulating the forces of your spirit, which embodies your talents to help you be successful in all your life endeavors. And there's a reformatting of the initiation systems this year, because what's taking place this year is that we're integrating the systems, the Osirian and Orion initiation system, to help us specifically be successful in our day-to-day life activities, meaning as we utilize the Osirian and Orion initiation system and integrate them, it's really going to be there to help us to be successful, as I mentioned, when we're talking about whatever life goals you may have, your social relations, career, education, legal matters, financial stability, psychic development, whatever particular goals you may have. So repeating, we want people to understand this is to help you improve the quality of your life. This is not just about feeling good or having a moment of deep relaxation. This is about you bettering your relationship, better your parenting skills, improve your education, improve your business acumen, dealing with legal challenges that you may have, improving your finances. This is all a part of the Osirian initiation, being successful in that context. And the beauty of the system in terms of accessibility is that it's facilitated by the Osirian Society, and our educational aspect is called Taui University. That's T-A-U-I University. And our website is taui.biz, B-I-Z. So you can go to taui.biz or Taui Network, and you can see the various aspects of the Osirian Society. And you can also access the way that the Osirian and Orion initiation systems will be presented to the masses of people is through an online initiation system, meaning that you can sign up for the initiation system online, and then you receive the initiation system on a monthly basis. You receive that aspect on a monthly basis, and you're able to involve yourself and follow the practices of the initiation system out the convenience of your own home. You don't have to leave. You don't have to be in a certain place in a certain environment. You can work the initiation system at your convenience because you'll have it online. You'll have the slides, the meditation, and you also have access to a forum that you can discuss the initiation with trained priests and priestesses along with other individuals who are doing initiation, so your questions can be answered and you can get guidance and direction, along with potentially being able to be in an environment, depending upon what city you may be in, to have access to a direct study group or instructional class where people physically come out in conjunction with doing it online to benefit from the initiation system itself. And the basic class structure in terms of the charges is $20 per class for the Osirian initiation system. There's 12 classes total, but you can pay up front for 6 classes and pay $110 versus $120, or you can pay for all 12 classes up front and pay $200 versus having to pay the $240. And also with the Rye initiation class, it would be $10 per class, or you can do the first 8 classes for $70 because there's 16 classes total. You can do the first 8 classes for $70, or you can do all 16 classes for $130 versus $160. And you can also call the number. I'm going to mention the number you can call for Taui, that's T-A-U-I, 718-469-3199. That's 718-469-3199. 469 3199, Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. You could call and also register for the initiation. And we're literally in the beginning phases of it at this time.
Well, brother, what if there's somebody, a lot of the listeners that you know, I'm speaking with and a lot of the people that are tuned in are in the Washington area as well. You know, they, let's say, for example, somebody's listening and they're like, wow, you know, the weather's going to be kind of rough. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it down to Richmond for the workshop. But you also have workshops there in the Washington area. Could you give a number for people who might be interested, who are up there, who might be interested in learning more and coming to some of the workshops up there?
Yes, well, we in D.C., we have the Osara Set Society. We have what we refer to as the Sinbeb Wellness Complex, where we have a health food store and a vegetarian cafe. And the number they can call there is 202-723-5566. That's the number to the health food store component of the complex. And we will also be doing an Osara Initiation Workshop in D.C., on this Saturday at 5 p.m. so people can get their introduction to the workshop, to the Osara and Oran initiation. And also, if they've done it before, because it has been reformatted, everyone needs to be introduced to the new system. So we invite even those who have done it before. And there's also different levels. So if you did level one last year, you'll be moving to level two this year. So you're not just repeating the exact same program every year. You're progressing in terms of the work and the skills and the talents and the qualities you have access to with each level of initiation.
Well, everybody, again, there you have it. There you have it. Are you ready? Are you ready to go to another level? Well, let me tell you, if you're in the Richmond area, you got to come out in here, my brother. And again, weather permitting, Hekshem Suharu, Shekhameh Nateh, is going to be at the Trinity Family Life Center, and that's 3601 Dill Road in Richmond, Virginia. That's 23222. Again, that's Trinity Family Life Center, and that's 3601 Dill Road in Richmond, Virginia. And the lecture tomorrow is free. Okay, so all you got to do is get there, and again, you're going to benefit immensely. The phone number to call for more information is 804-687-6505. That's 804-687-6505. Brother, this has been a very powerful, powerful interview. Again, I'm sure that all of the listeners have benefited immensely from it. If they didn't know what the Osarian initiation was before or the Ra initiation, they definitely know now. Again, for those in the D.C. area, Shekhem, if you could give that D.C. number one more time, just for the people that are up there, that I'm sure that they're going to want to learn more and find out more and possibly attend the lecture or workshop on Saturday.
The number they can call is 202-723-5566.
Brother, again, I want to say thank you so much. This has been very, very powerful. Again, you know, thank you for all of the work that you've been doing in spreading this information. So many people are benefiting from it, and I myself am benefiting from it. My family's benefiting from it. And so, again, to you, thank you so much for being my guest this evening.
All right. Thank you, Brother Jawan, for having me on again. I look forward to the next time.
All right, brother.
Okay.
Sir, me too. Talk to you tomorrow. Peace and blessings.
Okay.
Everybody,
right,
that was Hekshem Etepu. That was Hekshem Suharu, Shekhameh Abnatar. Again, thank you to everybody that's taking time out to listen. Again, I want to say hi and thank you to Queen Carmen so much for tuning in over at Healthy 247. Thank you, Queen Renee, for tuning in. I appreciate you, sister. Again, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. To everybody in Healthy 247 who's tuned in, thank you, thank you, thank you. For everybody, and I grew up in D.C., that's tuned in, thank you, thank you, thank you. For everybody that's tuned in, if you've gotten a link to tune in, you know, people, the different people who are sending out the links, letting you know that Hekshem Suharu was coming on. And again, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, listen to Jawan's for Life. We come on every Tuesday and Thursday. We've got archives that's out of this world. So all you have to do, if you've missed some shows, go back and tune in. We've got Dr. Ruby Lathan is coming up In this month, I believe it is on the 19th of this month, she'll be on. Brother Coy Dunstan is coming on the 17th of this month. Mike and Heidi Perry, that's the Swamis, that's Swami Abhipandananda and Swami Jyotirvakyananda, they're coming on the 12th of this month. So definitely get ready because we got some shows lined up for you. Again, to everybody, thank you. Until the next time, peace. I love you.